Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Fitness Center here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, well, as you know, we are known far and wide as fitness gurus.
Oh, well, sure. I mean, has your new diet book, the Dunkin' Donuts diet, come out yet?
No, not yet. But I have a letter here from Ron Speier, who says he was inspired to greater fitness by us.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me guess. He took our advice. His car broke down, and he has to walk 50 miles a day.
No, but that's a good guess. But here's what he says. Here he is, his letter. Dear Click and Clack, while countless listeners have learned that you guys know absolutely nothing about cars.
Check.
Very few know the one useful thing about your show. You promote physical fitness. Huh, see? Mm-hmm. While preparing for my first marathon the past few months, I needed something to fill countless hours of pounding the pavement. So I downloaded a bunch of your podcasts, and I set out on a run, repeating this torture every weekend. To my shock and surprise, as the weeks went along, I found I was running faster and faster. I attribute this directly to your show and my desire to hurry up and finish the run so I could stop listening to you bums. Perhaps you can parlay this testimonial into a fitness infomercial.
We just did.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Ron. He says, wait, there's a P.S. My new goal is 26 miles before you get to the puzzler answer.
Wow.
That may require the use of a car.
Well, look, if you have a question about your car or your fitness regimen, give us a call. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Carla calling from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Carla.
Hi, Carla.
What's going on?
Well, I have a 92 Honda Accord, and I have to apologize beforehand, but every time I start my car, it makes the most horrible sound in the entire world for a good 30 seconds.
Really? After it starts or before it starts?
After it starts and once I start driving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the noise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
And imagine this noise echoing throughout an entire parking garage.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's even worse because the garage
nightmare.
Amplifies it.
Oh, my gosh. I feel so embarrassed.
Do the paramedics come running in to rescue you when they hear this? I mean,
yeah. More likely, I feel like the other people are about to beat me with sticks.
Well, how long has it been doing this?
It's been doing this since I got to Portland, Oregon. I drove it from California.
Oh, so you haven't found a repair shop yet?
No.
Aha.
But it didn't seem life-threatening or anything like that.
No, and it goes away after 30 seconds. How can it be anything serious?
Yeah, yeah. And it only, like, it worked when it happened when I was accelerating and braking, so I didn't think I'd die because the brakes failed or anything like that. And sometimes it would go away, and then when I was stopping to pay for the toll, you know,
yeah,
I would push down the brake, and the entire time while I was paying the toll, it would go,
They must love
well,
you.
Well, you're a very patient person, Carla.
Why is that?
And, well, and to have withstood this, and I would say your logic, really, about it not being dangerous is unassailable.
Well, you know, I'm studying to be a lawyer, so that's right up there.
Oh, you'd be driving a BMW any day now.
Yeah, I know. I thought I'd trade up eventually.
Well, what you have here is a loose belt.
A loose belt? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it may be that the belt is so loose that it's getting ready to break because that's the reason it's loose is because it's all worn out.
Oh, you know, that doesn't sound good.
That doesn't sound great.
That isn't great, but it's fixable.
Okay.
So you may need to have the belt just tightened or you may need to, in fact, replace it. But you need to go to our website, cartalk.com, and go to the McCann-X files.
McCann-X, okay.
Yeah. And you will find someone in your area that other Car Talk listeners recommend for Accords or Hondas in general.
Oh, how nice.
He'll tell you where to go, so to speak.
Excellent. I'm constantly lost.
Well, good luck. And get it looked at because you don't want to be stuck out in the middle of no place and have the belt break.
Okay.
Because if it's the alternator belt and it breaks, it's going to kill your battery and then someone...
No, don't wait.
Okay, I won't.
Get it done.
All right.
I will.
See you, Carla.
Thanks so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is John from the wild and wonderful Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, John.
How are you
Columbus.
Today?
We're just dandy.
Gateway to Toledo.
Exactly.
Such as it is.
I've got a 91 GMC van, and I have a beloved 6.2-liter diesel engine in it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I found out as a course of the issue that I'm researching right now that I have a very special limited edition diesel engine.
Oh.
It's a higher horsepower, and they only made 500 of them.
Yeah, to see if they worked.
Right, so they wouldn't have to refund too much money if they didn't.
Well, actually, don't crack on them too bad. This is the second diesel I've owned, and I think they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, and I'm going to have another one when this one dies.
Yeah. Really? What is it that you like? Is it the fumes or the noise?
well, both. I like the fuel economy. Get great gas mileage out of them.
Yeah.
But the reason I found out I had this special limited edition was I went to replace the radiator, and I found out that it's a higher horsepower, and therefore it has a special radiator in it.
Special $700 radiator, which just wipes out all your savings on gasoline for the last 2 years.
Right.
No, go ahead.
Well, exactly, which means that there's no aftermarket because they only made 500, and I end up having to buy it through the dealer.
Yeah. What'd they soak you for that?
Oh, it was in excess of $500.
Ooh, gee, I wasn't that far off, was I?
No.
So, anyway, my question is, as I think about replacing this radiator, as I did the research, it's the exact same thing that happened on my pickup. At 100,000 miles, the radiator plugged. And as I research why it plugs, it's because there's minerals in the coolant that, you know, crystallize inside the radiator and plug it.
There you go.
Right? Well, yeah. My question is...
The answer is yes.
Go ahead.
The answer is yes.
Oh, great. Well, my question is that when I replace the coolant and I put the new radiator in, what would happen if I mixed the antifreeze with distilled water instead of regular water?
Yeah, yes.
Would I be reducing the potential of the minerals plugging the radiator?
Yeah, the answer is yes.
The answer is no.
The answer is yes.
The answer is no.
The answer is yes.
I gave the yes answer, and the yes answer was wrong. The minerals in the water are inconsequential.
Well,
what matters is the minerals in the engine in the radiator.
Yes. Well, I was giving a qualified yes. The yes being that in the immortal words of the little Jewish lady, it couldn't hurt. It couldn't hurt to use distilled water, but it probably is not going to do much good. And the real reason is that you haven't been flushing out the system, have you? John.
Well, no, he's got a veritable mineral farm there. He's got cast iron.
Oh, sure.
He's got a loom. I don't know what the radiator is made out of. Probably copper. In this case, maybe gold. But we received a letter some time ago from a chemist.
Did we know?
Yes, about the
mineral farm.
About not using distilled water in a radiator.
Not using.
He said it was detrimental.
Can't believe it.
Draws more minerals. It's called hungry water.
I see.
Hungry water.
Yes.
Whoa! And so it's not true that it couldn't hurt.
It might hurt.
Well, I'd have to see this letter.
Well, the question I thought I was answering was, can I put a filter? You know, diesel trucks, like real trucks, not like this wimpy thing you have. I mean, 18-wheelers.
Yeah.
They have cooling system filters.
Really?
Yes, they do. Which collect all the minerals, and they probably have some kind of a sacrificial lamb inside. Yeah. I don't know what they use.
And semis have about the same size engine that you have.
But you may be able to get that kind of a filter and filter, in fact, the coolant.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, you could just follow the instructions in the owner's manual, which might be a lot easier, because I know that you have never flushed the cooling system, have you?
He has.
He hasn't.
I changed the coolant every 2 years.
You do.
But I don't use the flush when I change the coolant. I mean, I don't put the chemical in to clear it out.
Well, I suspect that by just draining and refilling, you weren't getting the crud out, and you may have needed to really flush it. Nevertheless, I would investigate getting some kind of a cooling system filtration system if this is going to be a problem. And I sense that you're determined to keep this thing forever.
Oh, yeah. I'll just keep it running.
Yeah.
It's actually the other mechanicals that'll go before the engine goes. So.
Yeah, and the truth is that you might not have to think about this because it's going to be another 100,000 miles before this radiator plugs up.
Right.
And by that time, you'll have thrown a rod.
Well, when I posed this to my wife and said, geez, I wonder if distilled water would work, she suggested Perrier, but she's a little more upscale than
I am. Yeah, well, I know.
What happens when you go broke in the Perrier.
But see, I'm curious about this hungry water theory.
I'd have to recommend against the distilled water. It's just...
Yeah, well, if the hungry water theory is correct.
Could be complete baloney.
Could be.
But it sounded so convincing.
We will discuss this with Jim Davis, our resident chemist.
Great.
Professor Jim Davis of that great institute up the street.
Who in his spare time does the Garfield comic strip. He'll know all about it.
Yes.
We'll let you know, John. Stay tuned.
I will.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks so much, gentlemen.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Julia from New York.
Julia?
Yes.
From New York in general? Or...
I'm from Manhattan.
Manhattan. Oh, yeah, the real New York.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. Well, not originally, but I'm here now.
And you drive a car? No.
No. God, no.
No.
No, this question actually has more to do with my parents, who live in Reno, Nevada.
Yeah.
And they have a 1984 GMC Suburban.
Yeah.
And recently it's become on its last legs. And my father has decided because that instead of possibly turning it in or looking for another car, he would rebuild this engine. Therefore, he bought himself a new engine, and he took it upon himself to replace this engine.
Oh, so he bought the engine in a crate. He's going to transplant.
Yeah.
He's going to do this himself?
He's doing it with a friend, some friends.
How old is Dad?
Dad, oh, damn. If I tell Dad's age on the news, on the radio, he'll kill me.
Well, do it in scientific notation.
give us a...
Is it like 0.65 times 10 to the second?
Is he retired?
No. No.
He's not?
No.
Is he over 50?
Yes.
Is he over 70?
No.
No, that's fine. That's close enough. Okay. He's nuts.
Well, see, I know that, and you know that.
Yeah, no, actually, I don't think
that, but...
I don't think he's nuts. I think this is a perfectly reasonable thing to do.
Well, here's the thing. He's been, like, working on it. He's worked on it for a couple weekends now.
I mean, that's all?
Well, let me back up.
Yeah.
He had the engine sitting in their warehouse. They own their own store, and it was sitting there for a very long time.
Yeah.
And he finally got around to starting doing it, and he's having problems. And I'm very worried about what this is going to do to my parents' marriage.
I think you're all wrong here, Julia.
Okay, why?
Because there is nothing that your mother would like more than to get your father out of the house. I mean, you ask any 50s-type age woman, what would you like most in the world, a fur coat, a Lincoln Continental, a Mercedes, or get your husband out of the house? And
there's not a day that goes by that my mother doesn't call me and ask me to take my father away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Don't you want your father to stay with you for a couple of days?
Can you do something with him for a couple of weeks?
So there is nothing that would make your mother happier than having your father be out in the garage with his buddies, drinking beer and smoking cigars and reading books.
Wiring diagrams.
Actually, something like the wiring diagrams, and it's him and this guy and their dog.
Yeah.
In a warehouse.
Yeah. Oh, in a warehouse.
In a warehouse.
So he's not even stinking up the garage with this.
No,
they got a warehouse to do it.
No, they have a warehouse that they're doing it in on the days off.
Oh, I tell you, right now there are shivers running up and down my spine because that's what I dream about.
I mean, there isn't a guy listening.
Never seen this warehouse. Don't dream that hard.
There isn't a guy listening on the entire planet who isn't saying, a warehouse? A dog? His buddies?
No, because you know why?
Smoking cigars?
It satisfies the hunter instinct in all of us guys. I mean, what could be... He's hunting. He's hunting.
Hunting the wild...
Hunting
the wild Suburban.
Transplant.
That's what he's doing.
He's hunting
and what could be better than having your compatriots and a dog? And a couple of Cuban cigars. Or a couple of Cubans.
Yeah.
See, the problem is, I'm here, and they're there, so I don't really know exactly what's going on, except for what I am informed of.
Well, here's what you do. Start calling your mother once or twice a week. And don't say anything about it. Just talk about the usual things that you talk about. And try to notice over the course of the next couple of months whether she has a new lilt in her voice, if she's happier, if she starts smiling and laughing a lot. And you know, once in a while you say, well, how's Dad? And she'll say, and that's it.
And it makes, I'm going to predict it will strengthen their relationship.
In the long run, this will have a very positive impact on their relationship.
Okay.
This is great.
Right, every old geezer needs a Suburban. I'm going to get one for my brother in the morning.
Hey, thanks for calling, Julia. Keep us posted.
I will.
Bye.
Bye.
Interesting.
Well, very interesting.
Yeah.
And very important, I might add.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, look, we need to take a short break, and when we come back, we will not have a puzzler answer.
What? Don't tell me you forgot the puzzler this week.
No. The puzzler's away on summer vacation. You know, kind of like your brain.
Yeah, except the puzzler's going to come back at some point.
So, well, that's true. So what's coming up instead?
Well, I have a very important question from a listener here that we've apparently never addressed.
Oh, really? You want to give us a little hint, a teaser? I mean, the general subject matter, at least?
Well, it's about the intersection of mechanics and brownies.
This isn't nuts or no nuts, is it?
No.
All right, well, anyway, we'll be back to answer this critical question, I'm sure, right after this break, so please stay tuned.
Well, she only smokes when she's running, but I'm willing to make a deal. She won't rust, buzz, pick up dust, Chip paid her bill. She only drove it on Sundays, and that she swore is true. And she stood up when she drove it, so you know them seats are due. Fresh, rattle, rattle, bing, bang, here comes another sale. Ain't taking checks, only cash on this hot deal on wheels. She got a 30-second guarantee, whether you like it or not. Once you buy this lemon and you peel her off the lot. Now, come on, Billy, let me sell you a car. Better get her today, she won't be there tomorrow.
And even though Scott Simon decides to start studying for a riverboat captain's license whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and spreading the wealth.
Or at least the batter. This is from Mary Martin, who wants to know, what is the proper mechanic to brownies ratio? Should I make enough for the whole shop, or just for the guy who works on my car? To whom do I give the box of brownies? The person at the register, or do I ask for the mechanic who did the work on my car? I want to honor shop etiquette. Thank you for your help, Mary.
Wow. Oh, boy,
that's
oh, boy.
A good question, isn't
well,
it?
Well, it depends on the size of the shop. I mean, if you're dealing with a dealership where there may be 40 or 50 mechanics, you couldn't possibly,
deal with
unless
that.
You want to open a brownie factory. But I'm assuming that you're talking about smaller shops.
Hmm.
And no mechanic in any dealership would accept brownies from a customer because they figured they'd have rat poison in them. But if you're dealing with a smaller shop, you know, a five-person shop, for example, I think the proper etiquette is to make enough for everybody. I mean, you certainly don't want to set up any kind of strife within the walls of the repair shop, do you?
Yeah.
Well, let's look at our shop. We have Sean. He's good for about 8 brownies. And Craig is good for about 4. So for us, we got 6 guys in this shop. It'll be about 200 brownies.
You could go broke with brownies.
You could go broke. Then we've got the dog and you know, God knows what else. So I think you have to go 3 times the number of employees at the shop to be safe. So if it's 6 employees, 18 brownies. That's your standard Pyrex dish of brownies.
Wow.
You would cut them 6 by 3, right?
Wow.
They could buy, we do, by the way,
oh,
we do not accept store-bought brownies. No, we want them made with love.
They have to be homemade.
Of course.
Man.
Yeah.
This gets very, very serious.
It does. Well, I'm glad we cleared that up for people. Anyway, look, some of you out there might be wondering where the puzzler is.
What about those of us here What if we're wondering, too?
Well, the puzzler, as you should have known, I guess, is on summer vacation.
Ah, yes, vacation.
Yeah, that's right. It's resting, recuperating, rejuvenating, rehabilitating, and trying to get less lousy.
And we hope fervently that it succeeds.
Jeez, you know, when you say it like that, it sounds like you didn't like my previous puzzle efforts.
No, no, I wasn't criticizing the last puzzle season. I was just hoping that the next one doesn't stink as much.
Oh, I have feelings of hurt. It's too late now. Anyway, the puzzle will return in the fall. In the meantime, you puzzler nuts can head over to the website, cartalk.com, where each week we're posting a different green puzzler for you.
What makes the puzzler green?
Recycled! Now, if you want some car advice, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ariel from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Ariel.
Ariel, I saw your movie. It was great.
Gee, thanks.
Portland, Oregon?
Yes.
Okay, we're with you.
And I am considering shopping for a new car, and I do not know what to do. I don't know what to take to a test drive. Do I need to bring, like, the deed to my firstborn child, or what question should I ask?
Oh, you've never bought a car before?
No.
Have you ever owned a car before?
Yeah.
They were hand-me-downs?
Yes, exactly.
Ah,
jeez.
Well, you don't need to bring anything with you except your driver's license.
Okay.
And I guess a big bruiser to knock the guys around when they try to force you to do something you don't want to do.
Are they going to try to force me to buy a car?
Oh, you can count on it.
Yeah, especially if they know they have a live one. Yeah. How desperate are you for a car?
Well, not at all, actually. I'm just trying to get the process rolling so I don't seem stupid when I really do need a car.
And have you narrowed it down? I mean, do you have some idea what you would like to own?
Something relatively cheapish and reliable. I think the Volkswagen Jettas are completely cute.
Have you figured out a color yet?
Silver.
Silver.
So you've thought about this.
Yes, but I can't afford one at the exact moment. I just don't want to be taken advantage of when I finally do show up.
Oh, so you're this is a long range kind of project here.
Yes.
Oh, great. So, I mean, it's just like, I mean, have you ever shopped for clothing?
Once or twice.
What a stupid question. It's the sort of the same process.
Okay.
You go in and you start roaming around and looking at things, and someone says, "Can I help you?" And you say, "No, I'm just looking. Thanks very much." Except
okay.
The difference is that you'll find claws attached to your shoulders at that point.
No, and here's the big difference. Looking around in an automobile dealership is one thing. Test driving a car puts you on another level.
Yeah.
They know you're not just looking if you're test driving. So before you get in the car, understand that
make sure your papers are in order.
Yeah, right.
Your affairs are in order because you may never come back.
Yeah, you have gone to another level once you get in the car.
Okay.
And understand that you may not be able to come home unless you sign on the dotted line. So be prepared. But you're not prepared. But you just want to drive this car because you think that in a year or two you're going to be ready for a silver Jetta.
Exactly.
Ah. Well, then go ahead and take a couple of test drives. One thing I would admonish you about is don't let them think that you have a trade-in.
Okay.
Because one of the tricks of the automobile dealerships is that once you decide that you're going to drive their car, they decide they're going to drive your car.
Mm-hmm.
And so they say,
figuring that if you don't return with their $20,000 car, they'll keep your $800 car, and you'll be like even.
Right. But they won't let you drive the car alone. The salesman will come with you.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I'll have my used car man take a look at your car while we're out driving. And then when you come back and say, okay, that was fun, I think I'll go home now, they'll say, well, we can't find your car. And,
right.
I mean, there have been incidents, especially
Murray's junkyard.
A couple of dealerships around here in the Boston area have been known to keep people's cars from them for hours. And it's not just around here. It happens
everywhere.
Right,
and during that time, they keep you in the showroom, and they keep turning the heat up and shining the bright lights on you and turning the screws.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instead, you finally say, okay, I'll buy the thing.
So as long as you don't tell them that you have a trade-in, so tell them you got there by bus or someone dropped you off.
Make sure you take the keys to your car with you.
And make sure you take the keys to your car with you. And when you come back from the test drive, you can then say, thank you very much. I'll think about it.
Okay.
Great. Have a wonderful time.
Don't be afraid to say no.
Okay.
Good luck, Ariel.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You know the best kind of test drive to take is to rent the car for a weekend.
Yeah.
That's a real nice
test
drive.
Well, if you can get away with the dealer plates on it.
Right. There
you
go.
Come back after a weekend.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Paul from Westford, Vermont.
Hey, Paul,
how
what's
you
up?
Doing? Westford.
I'm good enough.
Wait, where's that? Westford.
Westford, Vermont, outside of Burlington.
All right.
Okay.
And we're ready.
We're ready. I got a 53 MG, the car you guys are always making fun of.
Oh, ho, ho.
I drive this every day in the summer, obviously.
It's a TD, right?
It's a TD. It's Mark II. It's making a new noise, one I haven't had before. Ever since a couple of months ago, my 59th birthday, it's been whistling. And the whistling's coming from the bell housing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, not exactly. It varies with the speed of the motor. It starts out, at first I thought it was just a ringing in my ears.
Yeah.
Can you make the whistling change by stepping on the clutch?
No.
Oh.
It doesn't go away if I step on a clutch. That was
and how
first
long
thought.
Does the whistling last?
As long as the car is running, and it changes with the speed of the car.
You have to be moving to get it?
Nope.
Oh, really? It sounds...
And does it happen as soon as you start it up?
As soon as you start the car, it starts whistling. If you increase the speed, it changes pitch.
And you say it's coming from the bell housing. How do you really know that? Because the bell housing isn't easy, if I remember correctly.
No, the bell housing is right there at your feet.
Right, but you have to take all that sheet
underneath.
Metal off. Or you have to get underneath or take the sheet metal off inside.
Yeah, no, I crawled underneath and
you did.
I stole a stethoscope from a friend of mine's father who's a doctor.
Yeah, and it's coming right out of there.
Of course, five of his patients have died in the meantime. So you definitely hear it coming out of the bell housing, which is not good.
That's not good because it's going to be the clutch.
It sounds. I believe this thing. You remember, Tommy? Doesn't it have a real ball bearing release bearing? I think it's got some stupid carbon block kind of thing.
It does.
It's just like a carbon. I don't know what you'd call it, but.
Yeah,
basically it's a carbon plate.
Yeah, basically, it's a piece of prehistoric rock.
The rest of the car.
Yeah, with the rest of the car, right. And I hate to say it, but you're going to have to take out the transmission and probably replace the clutch and the release bearing. Now, here's the good news.
There's good news?
No,
there is good news.
There is good news.
And the good news is you don't have to do it.
Well, you don't have to do it, but if you do have to do it, when my brother did this... His daughter, Anna, helped him.
Who at the time was 7 years old.
Right. She helped him take the transmission out and put it back in.
She threw the extra parts away.
No, she
was the only helper I had. I did it in my driveway.
And the good news is she now lives in Burlington, Vermont.
She's right up the street from you, and she can probably still do it.
She'll do it.
All you have to do, look at Paul, go buy yourself a case of beer, kick back. Give Anna the wrenches. She'll be there in the morning.
I'll just put the car out with a sign. Please help.
Anna, help. But we're pretty sure that's what you need.
All right.
Sadly. But it'll be an adventure.
It's a winter project.
Yeah, and don't do it.
Okay.
I mean, a whistle. How much is that going to hurt you?
Forget about it. It's starting to drive him crazy, isn't it?
It's too late.
You know,
too late.
Turn up the radio.
What radio?
What radio?
See you, Paul.
See you later.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227. They'd still be in business if they had put radios in these cars. 825. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Laura Lynn. I'm calling from Denver.
Is that your whole name, Laura Lynn?
It's all one word, no space, no hyphen.
Wow, that's a lot of letters.
L-A-U-R-A-L-Y-N-N?
One N, just one N.
Okay. What's up, Laura Lynn?
Okay, well, I have a 96 Taurus that I bought back in 97 in upstate New York. And it does this strange thing, mostly when it's warm, and usually if I'm taking a corner slowly, it kind of pops, and I guess I can sort of make the noise for you. It goes like that in succession, and it's slower if I'm going slower and faster, and I can kind of feel it in my feet.
Oh, so it continues to make this popping sound?
As I'm turning. Once I straighten out, it's fine.
Pop, 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 pop.
Yep.
Or pop, pop, up if you're going really slow.
Exactly.
Up, 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 up if you're going really fast.
Yep, and I can feel it in my feet and sometimes a little bit in the steering wheel.
Oh, Laura Lynn.
Uh-oh.
Really?
No.
Oh, jeez.
And it's a pretty loud noise.
It's loud.
Yeah.
And it only makes it if you make a right-hand turn, for example.
Correct.
Oh, not left.
Not left.
Get out.
And you've had someone listen to this?
Well, I can never get it to replicate when I go in, so, and it doesn't happen all the time.
Oh, jeez.
Really?
Oh, man.
Well, why don't you call us when it happens?
Can you make the sound, because I don't have a good feel
okay.
for it. Make the whole sound. I mean, here you are, you're driving along.
Uh-huh.
Does your foot have to be on the brake when this happens?
Maybe a little bit, because I'm slowing down to take the turn.
Slowing down to make the turn. Okay, yeah. So and maybe it's on the brake, and maybe it isn't.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. So there you are, you turn.
You know how if you stick your finger in your mouth and you...
Yeah. And it sounds like it's coming right from that right-hand wheel?
It sounds like it's coming from underneath my feet.
Oh, man. Gee.
Sorry.
Underneath your feet.
Did you have a backup question for us?
Underneath your feet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a stab at it.
Okay.
You are?
Yeah, I am.
You got.
Spot me. Because I could get hurt doing this. We are all familiar with the constant velocity joint noise that the failed joint will do when you...
You're stretching it.
No, wait.
You're going to... Okay. No,
just
no. Hey, you're my brother.
Are you with me or
are you my
me?
Brother? I'm gonna help you out as much as I can.
Until he sees that little flaw, and you're going to hear, Laura Lynn,
Well, there comes a point when even your brother can't stick by you. But I'm gonna try my... Right now, I'm with you, man.
I was going to explain that the noise that you typically get from a failed constant velocity joint is this snapping noise, like clack, 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 clack. So you're making a right or left-hand turn, and as you're making that turn, the failed joint will make this snapping, cracking, crunching kind of noise. Well, clearly you don't have that.
Okay.
Because what you don't have is a failed CV joint, at least an outer joint.
Uh-huh.
I believe that the noise you have is coming from an inner CV joint.
Oh.
Inner joints almost never fail, but I think the noise could be coming from that. Oh, you ready for this? From the boot.
I like the boot.
Yeah, but you said it's pretty loud.
It is pretty loud.
Yeah, and the fact that you say it's coming right from under your feet, those inner joints are right in the middle of the car.
Hmm.
I mean, right smack in the middle.
Okay.
And I can't tell you whether it's the right inner joint or the left inner joint.
Okay.
But I'm willing to bet it's one of them.
Is this dangerous?
No, it's not dangerous.
Okay.
But you should have someone, at the very least, put it up and see if one of those boots is torn or damaged or leaking grease or if there's some obvious evidence that something's wrong.
Okay.
I like it.
Okay.
Oh, he's lying.
I do. I like it. I mean, I don't think it's the CV joint.
He thinks it's
but
the boot.
But I do think it's the boot. I can see the boot, which is sort of the little clamp has fallen off.
You know, something's happening.
What?
Now that you like it, I don't like it anymore.
No.
I'm jumping off the wagon. You're on your own,
no.
man. No, that's it. I'm on. That's it.
No, picture this if you will.
Okay.
One more step and I'm walking.
The clamp has come loose. The end of the boot has slipped off.
Right. And you're getting the...
And as you turn, it gets deformed and it's getting caught. By the CV joint, that's by the axle itself, and it's hitting the little
the
boot,
noise.
And it's going. I don't
right.
like it. I love it.
All right, I'm distancing myself from him.
Well, it was your idea.
I know.
I stuck with you.
But as soon as you liked it, I realized it was bogus. Laura Lynn, get someone to look at it, but it doesn't sound dangerous to me at all.
It doesn't. Okay,
no.
good.
No.
See you later.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Jeez, I'm trying to back you up.
I don't want it. Hey, look, it's time for us to pause for a short break.
This is where we allow our stations to identify themselves.
No, this is where we allow our stations to check the programming menu again and see if there's anything better they could put on in this slot. We'll be back in a minute, we hope.
Beer in front, seat gun in the back, now I'm on my way. 17 for life I can't control. I got out at 21, now I'm traveling the old gun road.
And even though NPR's gardener looks both ways, then sprays a little weed killer on our salads whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the Car Talk Plaza bestseller list.
Now, as usual, I don't know who this is from, but here it is. The world's shortest books, like Al Gore, The Wild Years. Amelia Earhart's Guide to the Pacific. America's Most Popular Lawyers. How about The Engineer's Guide to Fashion? Different Ways to Spell Bob. How about Career Opportunities for History Majors? And there are others, but
I like Al Gore, The Wild. Well, I think I've already mentioned that the puzzler is on vacation, and we're posting archival puzzlers on the website.
Yes, you have.
But I have not yet made a plea for new puzzlers.
Yeah, I mean, after all, how's the puzzler going to come back in the fall if you don't have new puzzlers to steal from people?
Adapt, not steal. Adapt, adapt, man.
Oh, sorry. Steal. Then adapt.
Well, if you have a puzzle you think we can steal or adapt, send it to us at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email stuff to us from cartalk.com, including mail for me. I love mail.
Now, if you have a question about your car, you can call us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Burl, and I'm calling from Fredericksburg, Texas.
Burl.
B-E-R-Y-L.
Like,
no, for you.
B-E, well, Burl, yeah.
Yes.
So what's up, Burl? Burl.
Well, I, how do I say this gracefully?
Delicately?
I acquired a Mercedes, my husband's old Mercedes in a recent divorce.
Yeah.
And it's a 79 300 SD. It's a great car. It has almost 400,000 miles on it.
Really?
And I need to know whether I should put some money into this little baby and fix her up and make her perfect, or whether I should just send her off gracefully and find something more dependable.
Was this your husband's car?
Uh-huh.
It was?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you didn't care what kind of shape it was in as long as you got it,
absolutely,
right? Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Absolutely.
I don't care what it is, but I want it.
I was going to fight for this car till the death.
Right.
Because he wanted it, right?
He loves this car.
He loved it. Oh, good for you. Oh, boy.
You still on speaking terms?
I think you better talk to her. I don't want to talk to her.
No, I'm gonna force my brother to cleanse himself.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, do you love the car, or is it just going to represent for you some kind of evil?
No, I love the car. It's a wonderful car. It's very dependable. We've had her, I guess, almost 20 years, and she's terrific. I mean, I love this car.
So there's really nothing retributive in all this. I mean, you're not trying to get back at him by driving by the rest home where he is and showing off the car.
Yeah.
No.
And you won't, every time you look at it, you won't just go.
Well, I mean, do a little. But
you do a little. Well, okay.
But that's not the major.
But that's not the main issue.
That's
okay,
right.
The main issue is you like the car.
I like the car.
And you'd like to keep
it. And I'd like to keep it. But there is a possibility that I will be leaving the area and returning to where I've been. I just moved back to Texas after many years on the East Coast.
Oh.
And I may return to the East Coast, which means I may be driving in snow. And this is not a good snow car.
Well, plus the fact that it's a diesel.
It is a diesel.
It's a turbo diesel, even worse. But, I mean, this car is expensive to fix.
It is expensive to fix.
Yeah, I mean, what if you decided not to restore this car? What would you do instead?
Well,
buy a Honda Civic?
That's no. Part two of the question.
Yeah.
Suppose that I just put her away in a garage until I had really enough money to just fix it all at once. What would you put me in that's safe and dependable and that will deal with winter?
In the great frozen north?
Yeah, well, in the great frozen mid-Atlantic.
Mid-Atlantic, like North Carolina.
Like Washington.
Like Washington. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean...
A friend of mine wants to put me in a little Subaru.
So your idea would be, correct me if I'm wrong, to buy something like a little Subaru, garage this thing.
Yeah.
So that when you die, your kids can sell it. Because
yeah.
Right? That's what's going to happen.
I don't like the idea of garaging
okay.
it. That's
no.
bad.
I think either you do it,
okay,
or you don't.
Yeah, because if you stick it in a garage,
well, if I don't,
you'll never get around to doing
all
it.
Right.
Never. Yeah, I mean, I don't like the idea of restorations,
okay.
frankly, as you can tell. But
I almost shocked. Jeez, don't do that, man. No, my brother likes
what is
nature's
is.
Way. The nature's way of slow decay.
Slow decay.
He likes to see the car return to nature.
Nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the car is what it is.
But suppose I return to Washington. I cannot drive this car in Washington in the winter. It's
yeah,
very
so when
sluggish.
It snows, you don't drive it. I mean, it doesn't snow enough in
okay.
Washington to make that be a concern.
Okay.
In those days that it does snow, you
take a cab.
Okay.
You take
go.
A cab, of
All
course.
Right. So you think I should continue to drive this?
I mean, if it
until
were
it
I.
It absolutely does.
I mean, that's what I would do. I mean, some people like the idea of taking a car and trying to bring it back to its original splendor. The trouble, I think, with that is that when it gets that beautiful and you've spent that much money to do it, you're afraid to drive it.
All right.
It's better to have a car that you don't have
better
to worry
to drive
about.
It into the ground.
Yeah, you just keep driving, and when something needs to be fixed, you
yeah,
fix
don't
it.
Don't ever, ever, ever lose sight of the fact that no matter what it is,
it's only a car.
Only a car. I will make that
yeah.
into a needlepoint pillow.
And, yeah, send it to my
some,
brother.
And to some extent, I think it'll give you delight. To drive your ex-husband's car into the ground.
Well, now it's my car. It's not
well, but it was his car.
Anymore.
Yeah,
yeah it was
it's
his.
Mine.
It'll
it's
symbolize. Yours. It'll be symbolic.
It's true.
There
it'll
is a certain symbolism here. Yeah.
All
right.
Yeah, if only you... Never mind.
Never mind. Hey, Burl.
Thank you so much.
You'll have many, many years of happy motoring. I know you will.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Mark from Exeter, New Hampshire.
Hi, Mark.
How are you?
Exeter.
Is that Mark with an R?
Yes. And a C at the end.
With a C?
Yes.
Are you a teacher at Exeter?
No.
I mean, at the academy?
No, I'm close, though. I'm a school bus driver here in town.
Excellent.
It's even better.
Well, I have a bit of a problem, not really mechanical, but mechanic problem that I
yeah.
want to call you about.
Oh.
Now,
yeah.
I've got a lot of problems. The first one was that I'm upgrading from my very reliable 1972 Pontiac Le Mans, and I decided to go with an 1886 Peugeot 505 Turbo.
you know, if you didn't tell me you were from New Hampshire, I'd have known it.
Well, you know what, to make it worse, I used to live right down the road in Somerville, so I just moved up here a while ago.
Now, the only
they drummed you out, huh?
The only other two people on the entire planet that I know who drive Peugeots are in New Hampshire. And they're both related to me, of course.
Well, listen, here's my problem.
Yeah.
I got this car from a neighbor for $100.
There you go.
Okay. Well, it was uh-huh. going to be $900 until he took it into the shop to replace the camshaft and found out there was a cracked cylinder head.
Oh. Yeah.
So he said, well, it's going to cost so much to fix it, I don't feel right charging you for it. I'll keep the first $100. You take care of the repair bills.
Yeah.
I said, okay, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is this car has been at the mechanics now for...
3 months.
6 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first 3 weeks... I kept walking in once a week and said, is the part in yet? Part in yet? Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I have trouble finding it. And then he found one, and it was no good. And so he had to find another one.
Yeah.
And I said, well, listen, I know you have lots of other things to do. Would you mind, because I don't want to step on his toes.
If I looked for one.
If I look for one.
Yeah.
So he said, no, that's okay. So I spent about 3 hours on the phone, which I know he doesn't have time for, and I located a couple parts, ranging from a new one from direct from Peugeot for a lot of money to a rebuilt one from Florida somewhere for a reasonable amount of money.
What are we looking for, anyway?
It's a new cylinder head.
Oh, a cylinder head. Oh, okay.
So I went into him 3 weeks ago with my little list of three contacts I had.
This does not bode well.
And he still can't quite get the part in. So I want to know what's a kind of a graceful way, without getting him too mad at me, to ask him to go ahead and get this part, because I know I can get it in 3 days.
Has he taken it apart already?
Yes, he has.
Oh, you're done for. Me.
Oh, and to make it worse, I've already given him a lot of money to.
Oh!
and the knucklehead. And the absolute worst thing about this, okay, and I made the biggest mistake of you could possibly make to a mechanic. I told him I'm not
There's
really
no
in a rush.
Yeah.
And because I still have my other car on the road.
Well, suffice it to say, Mark with a C, that you have violated all of the rules. I mean, every one. First of all, rule number one, never, ever, ever buy a Peugeot. Rule number two, obviously, is never pay up front.
Well, I haven't. I put enough down to cover the cost of the part that I know I need to get anyway.
Yeah, but he didn't get it.
He didn't get it because he spent that money on something else.
See, he has no incentive at this point to finish the job because he's already been paid for it.
Think about it.
Well, not all of it.
What's the hardest part of any job? Putting it back together and getting it to work.
Right.
What's the easy part? Taking it apart and throwing all the pieces in a cardboard box. So you've given him the lion's share of the cash for doing the easiest part of the job.
Yeah. He wants jobs like that every day. If he could get enough of those jobs, he would never finish anything.
Right, which is why contractors, don't get me started.
Don't get started on contract.
Behave exactly the way they do, because people give the money to start the job, but they don't, no incentive to finish it.
So how do I get...
It's all water over the bridge, as we
say. That's right. So I'm stuck now. I'm stuck with
the car.
I'm stuck out the money.
I think you buy the cylinder head.
Mm-hmm.
You just do it, and you bring the thing in.
Okay.
And you say, look it, Goober, I can't wait forever for you to get the cylinder head. Are you a complete moron or what? I mean, this is the number. This is how you get it. In fact, I did the process for you. Here's the cylinder head. I'll be back tomorrow night to pick up my car. You have to.
Okay.
See, now, this is exactly... I don't want to bring
exactly up... exactly how my brother handles contractors that work at his house.
I mean, I was going to say, this is exactly what happened to me when the contractor stopped showing up at my house. I mean, I had given him money, and he had promised to do a certain amount of work, and he just, like, showed up a couple of hours a week.
Well,
and during which time, my house is in a complete mess. And so, like you, I start doing things for him. I'm going to show him how to do his job.
No.
He never came back.
No.
He's gone.
I will tell you from my vast experience of 25 years of fixing cars,
yeah,
every customer that pays in advance, everyone gets the worst service from me. And it is human nature. Because there's no incentive. The only reason I finish a job
is to get paid.
I paid money for the part. Somebody says, throw an exhaust system on my car. So I go out and I spend $200 for all the pieces. And then at the end of the day, the guy pays me for the exhaust system.
Yeah.
Does he not?
$750,
exactly. And I would never collect that $750 if I didn't finish the job. If the guy came in and said, here's $750.
But that's all water under the bridge.
No,
what are we going to do now? The guy's got his money.
You got to get mean. You got to kick some butt, Mark. You got to go in there and kick some butt.
You want him to get mean?
Mean.
And get himself on the wrong side of Goober?
Yeah. Because Goober has no integrity. And you shouldn't have given him fives and said, Goober, you go into your checking account and you buy the cylinder head.
The trouble is he can't go buy the cylinder head now. Mark can't because he can't pay for it.
Right.
He's already given the money.
Mark is between a rock and a hard place. If the bottom line is getting the car running, the most expeditious way to affect that is to buy the cylinder head.
Okay.
And you're going to tell him that that's what you're going to do because he's hopeless.
Okay.
And you're going to appeal to his sense of dignity and honor.
Which we know he has
got.
Off.
But maybe you can. He can summon up a little bit for this job.
Wow.
Hey. And tell him what a goober he is.
Hey, Mark, I wish you the best.
Okay, well, listen.
I feel better now.
Well, if anything else, you made me at least feel better about the whole thing, about better about myself.
And don't ever buy a pool show again, you moron.
Okay.
You got the right disposition for it, Mark. Good for you.
All right.
Yeah.
Good luck, man.
Thank you very much.
See you later. Bye-bye. Now, that guy.
And he told him, don't be in a hurry.
That guy you can have coffee with.
Mark's a great guy.
Mark is a guy.
And it's unfortunate.
I'm going to go look for Mark
in
Exeter.
It's axiomatic that the nicest people get taken advantage of.
Exactly. Because Goober said to him, gee, I'm going to need some money up front. And Mark, being the sweet guy, you could tell he was a sweet guy.
How much do you need? Right.
And he gave it to him.
And
he
said, I knew right off he was a sweet guy because he bought a Peugeot from somebody. I mean, how could you be a mean person and buy a used Peugeot? So he's a nice guy. He gets taken advantage of. And I think it is unconscionable.
Of the mechanic.
That Goober hasn't fixed his car.
I notice how you empathize with the with mechanic right away. You knew
what
a moron he was.
I didn't empathize.
No, but you, what's
connected.
The word? Connected, yeah.
Well, I know. I mean, I just know. It's human nature.
Yeah.
He's already been paid for the job. Why should he do it?
Mm-hmm. As soon as I heard those numbers, 505 turbos.
Boy, you knew it was a disaster. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David, the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher, Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Camelot Lobster Pot, Sauerbrot, Tater Tot, Apricot, Bergamot, Extra Shot, Burpalot, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marja Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. The director of our Alpine Choir is Leo Leahy. Our French folk music historian is John T. Alouetta. Oh, God. Our complaint line operator is Leave On Hold. Our downsizing consultant is Candace Guy. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our financial advisor is Phil T. Rich. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the full-time cafe crowd in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Oh, don't drive like my brother.
Right. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1135, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, the 10 cars we hate the most.
And why do we hate these 10 cars in particular? Well, because they don't break down enough.
Yeah, they're no help with our boat payments.
That's right. These cars come in for things like oil changes and tire rotations. How are we supposed to pay for a 28-foot Bayliner with stuff like that?
Find out which 10 cars we hate the most.
You'll find the list at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though companies that make sound-deadening acoustic tiles see their stock prices shoot up whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.